chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The disciples had a reason to be troubled. Jesus just told them one of them was going to betray him, and that all of them would deny him, and he would leave them that night. All of this trouble, this troubled the disciples. So if you believe in God, believe also in me. Instead of giving into a troubled heart, Jesus told them to firmly put their trust in God, in Jesus himself. Right. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So, Jesus spoke with complete confidence about heaven. Jesus knew that there was room for everyone in his Father's house. Right. Jesus could see what the disciples never could. Millions upon millions, even billions from every tribe, language, nation in his Father's house. Can you imagine? I mean, goodness.
That'd be a big place.
Yeah, it is. Let me turn the page, Michael. Jesus goes to prepare a place for his people because he loves them and is confident of their arrival. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that when I am, call Michelle. I'll bear with me. Should have brought mine. Go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So,
amen.
Jesus promised to come again for the disciples. This was not only in the sense of his soon resurrection or in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also had in mind the great gathering together of his people at the end of the age. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The entire focus of heaven is being united with Jesus. Heaven is heaven not because of streets of gold or pearly gates, or even the presence of angels. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. We take comfort in knowing that even as he prepares a place for us, Jesus also prepares us for that place.
Wow, that's good.
Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Okay. Verses 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how we can know the way. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas should be praised for honestly and clearly explaining his confusion. He thought Jesus was simply going to another place as if it were another city. Jesus didn't say that he would show us the way. He is the way. He didn't promise to teach us a truth. He said that he is the truth.
Amen.
Jesus didn't offer us the secrets to life. He said that he is the life. I'm wondering about, I don't know where I'm going. Jesus is the way. I'm confused. I don't know what to think. Jesus is the truth. I'm dead inside and don't know if I can go on. Jesus is life.
Yeah.
In light of the events, this declaration was a paradox. Jesus' way should be the cross. He would be convicted by big blatant liars. His body would soon lie lifeless in a tomb because he took that way. He is the way to God. Because he did not contest the lies, we can believe he is the truth. Because he was willing to die, he becomes the channel of resurrection. The life to us, Jesus made this statement, claiming he was the only way to God. He set aside the temple and its rituals as well as other religions. It was a claim to have an exclusive way. Truth and life, the only pathway to God, the Father, the true God in heaven. Simply put, if Jesus is not the only way to God, then he is not any way to God. Verse 7, if he had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus explained why he was the only way to God, because he was and is the perfect representation of God. To know Jesus is to know God. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years under his teachings, and Jesus understood that since they had not seen the full revelation of God's love at the cross, and his power at the resurrection, there was a sense in which they would only now know and see God. Philip had seen and experienced much in following Jesus, but had not yet seen God the Father with his eyes. He thought that such an experience would bring the life-changing assurance. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how thou then showest the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Jesus explains that you see me, you see the Father. Jesus always talked and prayed to the Father. His words were his Father's words. Philip had been close to Jesus, yet still did not understand him. It is true for some today that they don't understand. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To see the love of Jesus was to see the love of God, the Father. Seeing Jesus in action was seeing the Father in action.
Yeah.
Jesus shows us the same love, compassion, mercy, and goodness that was and is in God the Father. Jesus did nothing outside of God's authority and guidance. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, he's going to do it, right? Jesus encourages the disciples. To trust in, rely on, and cling to him in faith. Because of who he is, the words he spoke, and the miracles he has done, Jesus describes the benefit or blessing that comes to this one who believes. Whenever we pray and ask in Jesus' name, we know he hears us, and he will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Jesus did a remarkable experience of showing his great love to his disciples by washing his feet. John 13:1-5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out from this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from the supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began washing the disciples' feet. Can you imagine? I mean, gosh. And to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He also commanded that they should wash each other's feet and to love one another. He commanded them to put their faith in God the Father and also in Jesus himself. All of us are to keep God's commandments if we truly believe. The disciples feared Jesus is abandoning us. When he goes, they won't know what to do. God the Son promised to pray to God the Father and ask for the giving of God, the Holy Spirit, to the believer to accomplish this. Jesus breathed on them and truly received the Holy Spirit. And when they were regenerated and born again, John 20:22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Spurgeon writes, between Christ on earth and his disciples, what a distance there was. In his condescension, he came very near to them, but yet you always perceive a gulf between the wise master and the foolish disciples. Now the Holy Ghost annihilates that distance by dwelling in us. So even the Spirit of Truth, oh, I read that. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, said, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus told them when he returned to his Father, the Father would send the Holy Spirit in his name. The same Holy Spirit that Christ promised to his disciples is with us today. Romans 8:9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. As we navigate our daily lives, the presence and power of Jesus Christ are working in us to guide, equip, empower, and transform us. The Holy Spirit is also helps us. Sometimes we don't always know what to pray for. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that I'm sorry, y'all. I should have brought my glasses. Hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus carefully describes that the peace. Oh, this goes into peace now, because he does give us this peace that passes all understanding, right? Jesus, let's see, where am I? I'm lost. No, I'm not. 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Galatians 5:22, peace is listed as a fruit of the Spirit, indicating it is a natural outcome of the Spirit's work in believers' life. Jesus was preparing the disciples for what's to come. So why didn't they believe what Jesus was telling them? They were afraid of what was to come. Jesus told them not to be afraid. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Jesus told them all this beforehand, before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, that they might believe, just believe in Jesus. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the one who brings people back to life, and I am the life itself. Those who believe in me will live even if they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? John 12:44-46. Then Jesus said loudly, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. Whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I am the light that has come into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not live in the dark. Okay. I'm done. Sorry. Well, that's not very long, but, you know. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. I mean, this really gets me why, you know, he did all these miracles. And the disciples were with him for like 3 years. And they seen him heal the blind man and raise Lazarus. And it was just amazing, man. I lost where I was at now. 30?
30-31.
Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Anybody got questions or...